Do you remember how we start?
It's me, Josh.
Yeah, I go.
Yeah, that's your part.
We usually have friendly banter. We used to read.
Just had it.
Is this recording?
To read
yeah,
from.
It's not moving.
We used to read an excerpt
it's
of.
Very,
oh, I see. It's moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we used to read an excerpt of the book.
Oh yeah.
And
oh.
then one of
can we
or,
say an excerpt?
I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna something like
or,
that.
Or something from the script. Mm-hmm, like there would be a reenactment. And then Blake would make a funny comment, and then we would roll that music and get it going.
Okay. Well, someone say, reenact something.
Okay. You be the disgusting caller.
Yes. And I will be Olivia Hussey, a.k.a.
Should
Jess.
I just do, like,
are you
weird,
ready?
Heavy...
Hello!
Whoa. Okay. Don't.
Who?
I'm trying to think of literally
Hello?
Any
Hello?
Other line.
That's
other
not
than
how
that.
She talks at all.
Hello?
Every time Olivia answers the phone, she's screaming into
she's
it like an old lady
but
who cannot
I'll,
hear.
I will say, I feel like I did not retain much from the first movie, but I do remember her being very loud in the phone.
Very loud on the phone.
I'll do a line from the Blumhouse remake. Not all men!
Here's my line from the Blumhouse remake. Help, I've got a final and I can't find my Diva Cup.
Wait, was that a real line?
Yes.
Yes.
And then, out of context.
And then the camera holds on her while she sticks it in her pants and digs around for a second. It's.
I really blocked out most of that movie.
I don't.
Not
yeah,
have
I
been.
Don't remember what happened.
Yeah.
Was there a Billy in it?
There is not. It's all. Well, I don't know how many spoilers I can put in
we'll
this.
We'll talk about it later toward the end or something.
There are multiple killers.
What's a line?
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Are You There Pod? It's me, Jessica.
Oh, I meant like a line
from the...
Oh, I thought you meant the opening line for the podcast.
Hold on, I'm looking up quotes.
Oh, okay.
Calling
okay.
you Olivia Hussey as loud as you're being in the mic right now.
Sorry. Right up on it.
Blowing out the levels. I bet the sound guy on set was like, can we ask her to like
quiet just be cool? Now? Just answer the phone like a normal human would?
Oh, we could read this.
Okay. Can you send me a link to what you're reading?
Yeah.
You should have planned this.
Yeah,
this
is... sorry.
Do I have to be the other reader or is... I put like no effort into this. No lie.
I'll just do two voices.
Okay.
Hands gnash a form. What is this? That's the number of the sorority house. Fellatio? Yeah, it's a new exchange. F-E.
A new exchange?
Yeah, fellatio. One of the girls who was in this afternoon gave it to me. It goes on and on.
Okay, we can do that where Josh is the cop and Jess is Margot Kidder.
This was later. This is when he's giving the phone number to the other cop. And
that's when
they reveal, like, fellatio. They're all laughing at
they're
him.
They're laughing at him.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we do the earlier scene where between the cop and Margot Kidder?
At one point, at various points throughout that movie, I was convinced that every individual cop, other than maybe John Saxon, was the killer. For kind of dumb reasons.
Even the himbo, Nash?
Yeah.
Did you ever think the father was the killer, Mr.?
I did. Well, yeah. I thought everyone was the killer in that movie. But one of the cops, the one who's tracing the call, his name is like Bill something. And I was like, Bill? Billy, it's right there. It's right there.
That's just bad writing.
Yeah.
Two Bills in there. I didn't think they were leading you down any road other than the bad boyfriend.
The bad boyfriend.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I watched this twice in fairly quick succession.
So did we.
And the first time I had been drinking a little bit and also was not paying very close attention. So that's why I was just like, oh, it's anybody could be it. And then the second time I was like, oh no, clearly they were just going for this boyfriend the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
But,
Peter,
when they're doing the fellatio thing, and that one cop is just laughing nonstop.
Yeah.
I was like, he's laughing way too much. Gotta be the killer.
What if during his laugh, he just started going,
what your mother and I have to tell you is.
Because I don't even know that he has a line other than just laughing really, really hard.
Laughing cop is how he's credited. okay, I thought of a line and then the theme song will come up and then
okay.
we'll actually start it.
Okay.
Ho, 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 fuck.
Was it ho, 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 fuck, or just ho, ho, fuck?
Josh is fact checking.
Ho, 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 shit.
Ah.
Santa, please.
Yeah, but then he ends the scene by saying,
oh,
ho, ho.
Okay, wait. The other,
it's a whole
the other line
thing.
Is, bitch.
He says every swear
and she
word.
She said, isn't Santa naughty? Ho, 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 fuck.
He does say every bad word while she's getting a little boy
he says
drunk off camera.
I wanna...
Oh, yeah.
I want to come back to that Santa, and I want to come back to Margot Kidder's back.
I legit had no idea what scene you guys were talking about. I did not remember that until you said the little kid getting drunk. And
no,
it's all coming back to
me. I have a chunk on it.
Scene in the movie.
I have a chunk
just
on it.
Just shamelessly handing that kid
alcohol.
He's
like, I think
alcohol.
He snickered.
Let's hear Blake's chunk on this right away.
No, start the podcast the real way, and okay. then we'll go through it.
All right. Hi, and welcome to a random episode of Are You There Pod. It's me, Jessica.
It's me, Josh.
And with us tonight is a special guest.
It's me, Adam.
Yay, it's Adam.
Of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead fame.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone loved you and demanded you back, and I said, okay, give us 2 years.
Now back on our regular schedule.
Biannual podcast, that's what we've always said.
Did we ever put out one about Unfriended? We recorded in a car.
Yes.
Yeah, that was in 2022.
Was it? Okay. So.
Yeah, we went and saw Drug Church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we went to Taco Bell.
Yes. And we recorded in the car.
We did
put
it out and it sounded like shit.
It sounded horrible. Blake had it plugged into it was hooked up to his stereo while we were recording. That's why the sound was so awful. Anyway, sorry. Blake will never.
I don't want to revisit that.
Yeah,
okay, sorry.
That night.
Trauma. So this is not a book?
Not a book. Tonight, we're talking about...
There's a novelization of it.
Oh, that's true. It came out in 1978 or something. Mm-hmm. Came out a few years later after the movie. It's called Black Christmas, directed by Bob Clark. What other movies did Bob Clark make?
He's directed Porky's, Porky's 2, Baby Geniuses.
Baby Geniuses?
Oh, I thought that's what you were setting me up for. That he directed the Baby Geniuses movies, the Porky's movies.
I did not know
A Christmas Story.
Mm. What?
And
I knew a Christmas story.
The Christmas story is a wild
yeah.
He had a wild career.
He's all over the place.
Yeah. And he also directed one before this.
So Christmas Story is 1983. So at some point, someone was like, this guy nails Christmas movies. Let's get him back in here.
You know, nothing says Christmas like Bob Clark.
I don't know much about this movie. It's called She-Man.
Okay.
It was one of his first ones.
Okay.
And the tagline is, they all live in a house of white slavery.
Oh. Ooh.
Sounds like it aged well.
And it's about a soldier who becomes a cross-dresser, is how it's said on Wikipedia.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Is it a dramatic movie or is it a comedy?
Is it a student film?
It's 68 minutes, so.
Oh, so.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Okay.
What's the one we watched where Joan Rivers directed it?
Rabbit Test.
Yes. Where it's just someone's getting pregnant.
Yes.
A man gets pregnant.
The whole joke
Does Billy Crystal get pregnant?
Billy Crystal is the lead and he gets pregnant and that's the joke. And it's like an absurdist comedy.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't...
Like Junior.
They did that.
But the thing is, at least I think Junior... tries to ground it, like this is a real thing
in
that
science.
Could happen.
That could happen, yeah.
Whereas Rabbit Test is like, it'd just be funny if a man was pregnant, so let's...
He just gets pregnant.
If I remember it correctly.
There wasn't a lot of science. There wasn't Danny DeVito being like, what?
Oh, I'm the one that got pregnant.
Yeah.
And
what if man pregnant?
It was really like Joan Rivers had just come up with that concept and put no effort in trying to work it out.
We'll figure out how it plays out later. We've got the we've got the hook, man pregnant.
Yeah.
No, this is the Christmas episode. You all need to get into the spirit,
right.
I think.
Yeah.
This
and
is
nothing
not...
says Christmas and YA book podcast like Black Christmas.
That's right.
Starring a bunch of young women in their early to late 30s.
It kind of fits the theme of whatever this podcast was.
Yeah.
I kind of have a story. I don't know if now's the right time for it, but hell, why not?
You might
do
well.
It.
You might as well.
The woman, I do not know the actress's name. She plays the woman with glasses in
Phil.
Phil, yeah. Right. So when I was a young child, my parents had paid for PBS's or OPT's kids club for me to like be part of the kids club or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so there was an episode of Sesame Street where, and that was just something that they did locally. But, you know, when you're a kid, you don't know the difference between local and national television or whatever. So anyway, in between or before an episode of Sesame Street or after an episode of Sesame Street, when they're doing like this was made possible by OPT, put an insert in that was like kids clubs members or whatever. And my name was on
nice.
There. And so my parents recorded that off VHS. Well, that woman who played Barb was a guest star on that episode of Sesame Street. And this had to be like 10 years later. And it's been a long time since I've seen this episode.
Was she there to promote Black Christmas to the children?
No. Okay. But what I'm saying is, like, she actually looks relatively young in Black Christmas, but she, I felt like, looked quite a bit older in, like, she was playing, like, a older woman in the Sesame Street.
Thank you for your support, Adam.
Right.
She didn't look that young in Black Christmas. She was dressed
She plays
like
a college student, so, you know.
Maybe she just had the fashion of, like, a 45-year-old. But that was just like a thing.
And yeah, she couldn't have been that old. But, you know, again, when you're a little kid, you assume everyone's really
26.
Old,
huh? She was 26.
When she filmed that. So yeah, she was probably mid-30s or something on that Sesame Street episode. So anyway, point is that was the only episode of Sesame Street that we had on VHS. And even though I would see the show on TV, I had seen that particular episode a million times. And she works in a shoe store and she's helping Grouchette buy a pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. Really bizarre episode because it featured so heavily Grouchette, which is a Muppet you
never see. I assume we saw Grouchette in Grouchland, and I'm on Grouchland probably because you need to pull out. We got some extra Grouch.
Yeah, and it's
puppets.
Like Grouchette and Maria are trying to buy shoes, and they're just going through all of them. And this woman's going like pulling her hair out, going crazy because she cannot find a pair of shoes for Maria and Grouchette to wear.
Do you remember when Mr.
And
Hooper died?
I helped make that episode. Just kidding.
And she read your name at the end? Is that what happened?
Yep. Anyway, she's saying these boots are made for walking at one point.
Wow.
So that's one joke I remember is her singing these boots are made for walking. And then I also remember there being a joke about puce-colored shoes. And either someone really wanted puce-colored shoes or someone didn't. And again, I didn't know what puce was at the time, but I remember way too much of that episode.
This movie had a lot of recognizable faces.
Mrs. Superman.
Mrs. Superman.
Uh-huh.
Margot Kidder. It had Juliet herself.
Olivia.
From first boob I ever saw, probably.
Really?
Interesting. You didn't look at your mom's when you were eating?
Stop.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember. Does anyone remember breastfeeding?
I was not breastfed, so no.
I was adopted.
If you...
I remember him.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Very recognizable.
Your mom's breast.
Olivia Hussey. Mm-hmm. We love seeing her again.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. Who else did we recognize?
The cop. The lieutenant.
Who is
John Saxon.
Yeah.
What's he from?
He was in like Enter the Dragon, like a Bruce Lee movie. But he was also probably what we all know him from is Nancy's dad in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And Nightmare on Elm Street 3. And New Nightmare. Andrea Martin, who's the woman that I was just talking about that plays Phil. I'm going to make it a bit where I just keep bringing Andrea Martin back.
Okay,
back
that
into
sounds
this.
Good.
She also played the alcoholic house mother in the first Black Christmas remake.
Oh.
Oh.
So, catch that.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
They made this movie again twice
in
what, 2006 and then like
2019?
My complaint about the 2006 one, which I've never seen, is that when I worked at the movie theater and it came out on Christmas Day, and that is terrible.
Too late.
Yes, that should have come out in early November. Yeah. It probably should have come out for fucking
at least
Halloween.
Thanksgiving, at least.
But it was a Weinstein Company thing. No good decisions being made in that office. But coming out on Christmas Day, okay, fine. You can go and watch it on Christmas Day. Shut down the theaters, get it out of there the 22nd or the 26th.
Yeah.
People shouldn't watch movies about Christmas the day after.
Absolutely not.
It's a moral issue.
It is a moral issue. I got so mad.
It's time that
tearing
you switch
tickets
into...
for Polar Express
Why
in
are you
January?
Watching this? Why are you watching
You've
this?
Got to switch to your New Year's Eve movies. You got to switch to 200 Cigarettes. You got to switch to...
New Year's Evil.
New Year's Evil.
Another great phone tapping
The Apartment.
Story.
the apartment. Isn't there one that's just New Year's Day or something?
Yeah. It's one of those like ensemble like Valentine's Day.
It was
Day.
One of those
Gary Marshall movies.
Post
yeah.
Love Actually movies where they like all of a sudden wanted ensemble holiday. There was like a Valentine's Day mm-hmm. one, a New Year's
Mother's
one.
Day.
Oh yeah, Mother's Day. Yeah.
Is there a Mother's Day?
I don't know.
And those all worked. Those all succeeded. Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That trend,
the Mother's Day, the one we all know and
still
love.
Going.
Yeah.
So what's the basic? What are the basics of this movie? What happens in this thing?
Its credit, compared to at least its successors, is that it's very simple. It's a simple.
I like the simplicity.
Yeah, exactly. It's a sorority that they're kind of in transition during the like holiday break.
Well, hang on. Just like the holdovers.
It's like the holdovers. It is like the holdovers.
But what if the holdovers was ladies?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also if someone was getting murdered. Is there murder in the holdovers?
Going on to Vietnam, there certainly is.
Is there murder in Saltburn?
Sister, that's a big question.
Adam, no comment.
Adam Sidebar.
Get back to us when you
Is
watch
there
it.
Murder in Poor Things?
That I
It hasn't come it. Out yet. Adam Sidebar, you want to talk about the history of slasher movies?
I don't know that I'd be qualified for that.
It seems like you should be invested in this. Is this
the
first slasher?
Yeah, so is this
the
first slasher?
Like one of the first? People have called it the first slasher, haven't they?
I mean, I would say that it definitely has, if you're defining that based on some of the more modern sensibilities of slashers, then it certainly was an early example of that. It did the first person killer thing, which is what it's known for, which of course was then... basically ripped off by Friday the 13th.
Yeah. And people Halloween. Being killed off
when
one
did,
by one.
When did Peeping Tom come out?
Oh.
I don't know. Probably before that.
Because that was all first person. Not all, but that's first person.
The murder scenes?
Too. Yeah.
Hold on, I'll look up Peeping Tom.
I feel like that was...
There's a final girl in this movie. I don't know if it invented that trope. Probably not. But...
Oh gosh, it was way earlier. Peeping Tom was 1960.
Oh yeah. Damn. Okay.
It is funny. I know this isn't an example of a slasher, but mentioning the final girl, it is funny, like, seeing Night of the Living Dead, the original one, like, going back and watching that, how, like, that movie, if made today, would have a different final survivor than what it had. I don't want to give spoilers, but did not have a final girl.
I actually haven't seen it, but I want to.
It
holds up. It's great.
Yeah. Okay. I remember the first time I saw it, it was like a forced thing where I was like, everyone talks about this movie. I guess I'll watch it. And then
Night of the Living Dead, the first one?
Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, damn, it's actually.
You
really
know what? You can't find those. That's why we haven't watched. That's why I haven't seen it I haven't seen Dawn of the Dead either.
Because Night of the Living Dead in the public
Dead,
domain.
You can find anywhere because he never copyrighted it.
Yeah,
and that's why
up.
It's been like people can do remakes of it, whatever.
I think it fell or.
It's Dawn of the Dead for some reason. It's hard to find. And probably Day of the Dead.
Day of the Dead
you can find. Okay. Dawn of the Dead was a rights thing because someone owns the rights that was trying to convert it to 3D.
You can find the Zack Snyder Dawn.
You can,
more easily.
Not
than
looking
you can
for
find.
That.
Yeah.
Well, it's fine.
That one's fine too. So, anyway, to answer your question, sure.
Okay, sure.
First slasher.
This is the first
Wikipedia
slasher was a Christmas movie.
Did not say anything
movie.
About Peeping Tom being considered a horror movie. So
it was ahead of its time, and it's every other Christmas movie is some kind of spooky. Scary send up of the genre these days, it feels like, but this was way ahead of its time.
It's so far ahead that it didn't get a million sequels because whenever everyone started it, you know, everything started becoming derivative of it, then all of a sudden all these movies were getting a million of them made.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of a surprise to think that Black Christmas never got like a long running.
They could have turned around
series.
And done one like 10 years later or something, but it's probably too late.
I don't think it had enough of a fan base. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't like
it
has
cult
a it's a cult.
On.
Yeah. But it Much wasn't like Halloween or something like that was a hit at the time.
Yeah.
So that's probably why there's not as much money
probably
in the Black Christmas.
More popular with the rise of VHS and that kind of thing.
Sure. Sure.
So these co-eds and their cozy sorority house.
Mm-hmm.
This is a nice ass house, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Are getting what's called obscene phone calls. This used to be a thing, I guess, right?
These calls obscene? You're saying
no.
These so called obscene phone calls.
The term obscene phone call is like a thing.
These snowflakes that can't handle a phone call.
Can't handle
can't
a little.
Can't hear about their piggy little
man,
being licked.
Guy, yeah.
Man baby who can throw his voice and have three different personalities going at once.
There's a scene that I was probably the scene I hate the most in the movie. It's not one of like violence against women. It's the one where he. Because when the movie opens, it just opens on the house, but it's also, we'll switch to the killer's perspective and him getting into the house and where he's going once he's in the house, right? But the scene that freaks me out the most, his hiding place is up in the attic. That's where he has set up his camp. He's frogging, as we would say now.
Yeah, yeah.
My biggest nightmare.
They didn't
nightmare.
Have that term, but yeah, you're right.
But he's frogging, and... there's a scene where he loses it and is just throwing a baby fit up in the attic. I can't remember exactly what sets him off, but he is just like
hitting stuff,
hitting things, throwing things, and that weird, creepy, scary.
Does he bump his head on something?
I don't
something
know.
Like that?
It's scary. That's a scary part. I'm like, it's just like some little incel throwing a tantrum.
He makes entirely too much noise up there. I know there's always I know there's always parties going on. There's always a 45 spinning on the record
player.
But even
when it's quiet. He's,
well,
he's being noisy up there.
And I agree. I also don't think that's the most egregious of unbelievable things.
When
that
they're
happen.
On the phone with him, they don't hear someone shrieking.
I know. There's so much.
Because he's being loud on these calls.
Well, and then, I mean, we could get into the cops' poor investigative abilities. And
we're not going to check this house. We're not going to actually check it.
No.
It's at the very end, it's an active crime scene, and they're just like well, good night.
Well, a lot of things happened.
We'll leave you to it. You knew the call was in the house. We're not following up on that. Was this the first? It can't be the first, but this is a
it was
call
based
coming
on,
from inside the house.
It was based
maybe.
On that story.
Yeah.
And also based on like real murders that occurred in Canada. This was filmed in Toronto, which I like to think is why it looks so pretty, because American, I don't know, I guess in the 70s they weren't as ugly, but... just the city,
cheaper.
From what you see of it, looks so much prettier.
Where is it supposed to be set? It felt East Coasty or something.
I don't know. They're at a conservatory. They're at some expensive
seems
kind of
Ivy
private
League,
school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because her 40-year-old boyfriend, Peter,
I've been up for 3 nights practicing.
He's like, I'm going to leave the conservatory. It's like, my brother in Christ, are you still a student? Like,
here's a question I have about his piano playing.
Yeah.
When he's going at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know he was sucking? Or it's him. It's him like.
I think you're supposed to know by him being sweaty and just
and
like
sweaty and.
But sometimes you see piano guys and they're just doing that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like sometimes he'd hit those like discordant notes and.
But piano guys that are sweaty and really going at it well. Look intentioned about it. He looked like he was really just being real
bothered.
How'd
he get so thrown off after 8 years in a conservatory?
Girlfriend is pregnant.
Okay, we're
that's
way
why
too ahead. We're
know,
way too ahead.
I know. Okay. But I want to talk about it.
We'll get back
but
to
I
it.
Think I watched Maestro and his ass is sweating.
Yeah.
And he's doing good.
Well, I think the other indication
it's
is that
he doesn't seem happy and everyone's making
why
F minus
just
mark.
Say, the judges meant to do that. Like it's a discordant play on
avant-garde.
Yeah, I'm an artist. Yeah.
See, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to think it was good.
I think when the judges are looking at him like Huey Lewis looks at Marty McFly during the prom auditions, you know,
they should be
isn't going well.
They're like too stone-faced. They should be like, hang on. These aren't even chords. Like, not one of these chords is an actual chord in the books. The thing about his recital is that he's blowing it, but he's not just hitting some bad notes. He is not hitting one single right note. It's just this insane thing.
It would be like if I just sat down to a piano and started hitting.
But it's all the right notes you don't hear is where the music is.
So it's jazz. It's a jazz school. Yeah. But he's doing like the rhythm is like that of a pro.
I was certain that he did not do well when he came back and began to. What did he throw a rock?
No,
did
he has a mic stand.
Oh, the mic
first,
stand. That's what
first,
it is.
He throws the lid
off
the piano.
The piano. Yeah.
I think this is like before we even cut to this, but we hear the lid crashing down.
I was like, I bet that went bad.
Then he takes a mic stand bass, like they're heavy. I have one around here somewhere, and just. Smashes the fuck out of the strings and everything inside. Yeah.
We're going to know that this podcast is not going well when Blake returns to this room and starts
with
smashing
heavy
each of our
I smashed my own computer.
And, in the computer.
I'm going to save it for the end because I don't want to get too far ahead, mm-hmm. but I do have a very serious question about the boyfriend and his role in everything.
Okay, we'll get to
it. I'll table it for now.
So the girls, as you had pointed out, they are, it's like an in-between limbo. School's out.
Yeah.
Some of them are going home for vacation. Some of them are staying there due to sudden turns of events, whatever.
Yeah.
So they won't be home for Christmas. They're having like a little party and they get their first, well, not their first, but the first that we see of an obscene phone call.
What does Olivia Hussey say?
Do you want me to?
I can do mine.
Okay.
Hello?
But she screams
but so much louder.
She's the British student.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the girls gather around to listen like it's on speakerphone, which did not exist, I'm thinking at the time. Was he so loud?
That was the thing in movies, was like the ear... piece so like so loud that everyone I guess you could kind
of you can hear. Kind of hear if yeah. someone's kinda. Like holding a
here's another thing about that call and I don't we probably don't have time to like pull it up but
no time
when I watched it the first time a few weeks ago there I think I might have told you this Josh but where I was watching it they had the closed caption on right the subtitles mm-hmm. And I think that obscene phone call up until towards the end of it is almost completely incomprehensible. Like you cannot mm-hmm. understand at all what is being said in the first part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the closed captioning, there's a whole fucking dialogue. And it's like, damn. Like, and I don't get what they were basing it on, if they were just basing it on the script. But what comes out on screen is does not sound anything like
because
what is.
Because a lot of it is, what's weird is a lot of it is him mimicking things that they've just said.
Yeah.
Like in previous conversations, right? Like
a
towards
little
the
bit
end.
Of
some
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, it comes in later. But
how
it starts.
How come no one thinks, okay, it's got to be someone who is in my house listening
yeah.
to me talk.
Well, like, by the time that happens, then the police catch on. But
well,
yeah,
no, they're still having to track. They're still
true,
like, I
true.
Guess we'll track it.
She should have put two and two together when that happens. But it starts as what sounds like heavy breathing.
Well, she thought it was yeah. Peter.
And then it's like.
it sounds like.
I want to talk about this voice actor's
It sounds like
shtick.
Exorcist type, where it's like a bunch of different people talking at
yeah,
once.
That's yeah, that's the thing.
It's really weird.
Is this one, the performance of it, mm-hmm. behind the scenes, is this one guy who's really good at doing voices, or is it multiple people? Is someone splicing audio? At some points, it sounds like they are.
Yeah.
Like there's a woman, possibly a child.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what that guy's got up in the attic. He's got a lot of shit going on up there.
Maybe he's got like turntables and.
Maybe. So, house mother comes home.
Yeah.
I love the house mother.
The house,
mm-hmm. I also love the house
the house
mother.
Lush.
Mm-hmm. Yes. She's always hiding her liquor.
Everywhere.
Like, and it's also like bottles of like cooking sherry, I feel like. Like, it's not even good liquor.
My question about her is, okay, you found your hiding spot. Mm-hmm. You have a bottle of liquor in your hand. Why are you taking a swig, putting it back, and now I need to go find another one? You know where that is? Just go back to that.
Go back to the book.
Or yeah. is it that she needs to... spread it around in case she's stuck in a part of the house later.
I think it's
not.
The,
so yeah. you can't drink too much from any one.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there is a part later where she comes across a bottle that's empty and is upset.
Yeah.
She forgot to replace it with a fresh bottle.
They
but,
are everywhere.
Would yeah. you keep and or drink out
yes.
of a bottle that
yes.
is in
yes.
a toilet
in the,
tank?
In the toilet tank, it's fine.
Does it depend on the situation? I mean,
you're a drunk. Yes.
Okay.
You'll drink out of it.
Fair enough.
So, one of the young women is leaving to go to visit her family for Christmas.
Is
so she goes upstairs to pack.
Yeah. Her father's picking her up.
Her father's
yeah, he's on his way.
She goes upstairs to pack and she hears a weird sound. And we all know that the killer is in her room because we see
Were
from his perspective. Because we can see from his perspective as he's hiding throughout the house,
yeah.
right? So we know he's in her closet. And I think she thinks it's the house cat. Everyone thinks it's the cat. By the way, don't go investigating if you hear cat sounds.
It's the cat doing yeah. all that heavy breathing and moaning.
So she thinks it's the cat and is heading towards her closet. And he comes out of the closet holding like a dry cleaning plastic bag and puts it around her head. And
classic
and
suffocation
her.
By dry cleaning
yes.
bag.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And then takes her body up to the attic. This all seems like things that people should have seen
because
or heard.
It's not on screen, right?
Not
it's,
on screen.
Like that was something when I, again, the first time I watched it, I wasn't paying as close attention. So I was really confused. I thought she was in her room the whole time. Like I was like,
oh,
why is nobody
okay.
finding her body?
Yeah, because her body is sitting in a rocking chair in the attic for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
But Adam
and you
thought
can
it was.
See it. You can see it from the window.
Through the window,
right?
Yeah, that's the
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, you could look
when we
right
get that
up there.
Pull-out shot.
And, like, everyone that went to her room was like, locked, and would walk away. And I just thought her dead body was just rocking in there. And, like, even the cops just couldn't find where she was.
But as they show it at the end of the movie, like Josh said, if you're outside looking up, you can see a face, a dead face, right. clearly in the window.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, the next day, everyone goes about their business. They're doing, like, some kind of charity thing for the sorority house is doing charity stuff for some underprivileged children.
They're getting drunk with
basically,
the Santa
they're getting,
around children.
They and, like, their, it's Phil's boyfriend.
It's them and their brother fraternity.
Brother fraternity. Yeah. And,
That's where ho-ho-ho shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what shit. If Santa, hang on, what if Santa cussed?
Was bad. What if he was bad?
What if he was a bad Santa?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This was a thing. I guess it never stopped being a thing because of Bad Santa, but they did it in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. There was a cussing Santa.
Yeah, most Santa's probably bad guys.
Yeah.
But that was like its place.
These are some.
Like,
remember.
Do you not remember the Santa in A Christmas Story who's kind of trauma? Actually, the elves are who's traumatizing.
Or the real life Santa in Nathan For You that had very questionable.
The thing about Santas is they're guys who can afford to. You know, they don't have a job that's year round.
But the joke is that he says swear words. I guess children are in his lap. Haha, you're not supposed to. Say bad words.
Yeah.
And we also meet the missing girl's father.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Mr. Henry Harris? Harrison.
I don't know. He just looks like an old man.
Yeah, he just looks like
an old man. And right away, one of those guys that the second he comes on screen, that's your killer. There he is. That's the killer. Like I said, I didn't get that. I was on to everybody in that movie. I was like, that's a killer. That's him.
Did you ever think it was one of the girls?
No. But no.
Girls aren't strong enough to do that.
That's what Adam just said.
No, I don't think that ever occurred to me.
Margot Kidder was pretty bad, though. Like, she was a bad girl.
She was a baddie. Yeah.
The original
I guess
bad.
They're all standing around. When yeah. they're, I mean, but it could be like a Scream thing where two of the girls.
That's a cheat. But, in the Santa scene, Margot Kidder is also, is she feeding children alcohol?
She's giving them alcohol, but the father is there because he's looking for his daughter. And they said, there's a volunteer event whenever he ran into like a student outside.
Yeah. And that means it's okay to give children alcohol because there's an adult present.
Yeah, she gets that kid drunk.
In those times you could, with adult supervision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One time my sister's dad gave her wine coolers in a sippy cup and got her drunk.
Oh my God.
My sister wasn't allowed to go back to dad's for a long time after that. I don't know if they were just all drunk and thought it would be funny or if it was an accident. I really don't know. So
just thought it was juice. Or just like,
it was in a sippy
cup.
It's
a wine cooler. How bad can it be for a kid?
You know, it seems like that was very common, not anymore, but back then to like, it's cool to let your kid try a little beer or wine.
Yeah, yeah.
But to put it in a sippy cup, I think, is a bit of a different level.
Yeah, maybe they were thought, this will shut the kid up.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm trying to remember everything that happens. Blake is going to have to cut out a lot of me trying to remember.
No, it's fine. Margot Kidder's being bad in every scene she's in. Mm-hmm. She's acting. I'm skipping ahead, but she. I like when they're at the police station. She turns around and cracks open a beer that she just happened to have.
So they go to the police station, though, to report that their sister is missing. And the himbo who takes all the information.
You're calling him a himbo, the dumb cop?
Officer Nash.
Are himbos supposed to be, like, good looking, though?
I mean, he's okay looking.
He's fine.
He's not the worst looking thing I've ever... He has nice himbo hair.
We're not going to take the word himbo and disparage it with, he's not the worst looking guy I've ever seen.
Okay, he's got good himbo hair. Think about it.
Did he have fluffy hair?
It's not floppy, but it is fluffy.
I think he's just dumb cop.
He's just a dumb guy. He's got the dumb part of being a himbo. And the hair, I guess. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's when she gives him the fellatio thing.
This joke won't play today. Couldn't make this movie today.
Could barely play.
You couldn't because we don't have those, what's the number? The
letters in the number.
Yeah.
Phone numbers.
What did you call it?
Transfer.
No, it was a new, shit.
When did they come up with a 10-digit phone number? When did they come up with that?
What was a party line? A party line would be like this. That was
a party line would be
like
an original podcast. Is that when your whole neighborhood has that access
or
to
on
one
the
line?
Same,
yeah.
On the
and
same
so you
line.
Just pick up the phone and you have to share it with everyone
and
else.
And you're partying.
Oh, yeah. That sounds awful.
Yeah.
I thought the party line you could also call into and be with multiple people.
I thought the
kind
I thought
of
party
like
line
an early
is $9.99 a minute.
I thought it was a fun, sexy time.
No,
but I heard
it,
party line in, like in someone talking on like, I don't know, F Troop. Not F Troop.
Yeah.
But Green Acres. They're yeah. saying, I'm on the party line. I thought it was...
I think there's multiple party lines, but I think there is a version older that was that where people would share like one line, like multiple families. But then in the 80s, I think party line was you would call a number with and everyone could call this number.
And it ended up
and you
all
would
being
all just,
it ended up being just dudes calling in there.
Wait, which is this the is all different day. Than like right 900 numbers.
I think there are different kinds of 900 numbers.
Yeah. Does this profession still exist? That I can call up a lady
yes.
and she's like,
well, it's cam girls now, right?
Right. No. Yeah. But there's not just if I got the hottest voice.
I think it still exists.
They still have the commercials late at night.
Do they?
Okay.
On certain cable channels.
Hmm. Ooh, I didn't know this.
Okay, but. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I was gonna really dive deep into the history of telephones.
Yes.
Okay,
no,
that's
what I want to talk about.
I don't actually know any information, but I'm asking questions.
What's Alexander Graham Bell.
This is what I gleaned.
When did they add numbers to the phone so people didn't have to go, operator, get me, like, you
right.
know, click the thing and be like, operator, I need New York.
When did the
okay?
When did the lady stop like
yeah,
having
plugging
the
things?
When
into
did we
the go,
having operators who actually had to?
Yeah. This is post. Lady operator actually doing patch cables, mm-hmm. but they still had like a two-letter system before each number.
The
but how
tracing
did you dial
a call
how
scene
did you
was blowing my mind.
I love the tracing the call scene, though. I think it's so cool.
I was like, this is it. This that is was, how they're tracing calls. This is
exactly.
insane.
Yeah. And that's what when they say we have to keep the bad guy on the line, that's it, why. Because
yeah,
a dude has
a
to run
sense,
through
yeah.
these hallways and see which little mechanism is turning.
Yeah, it's insane.
Great.
I love that we get to see that.
So
yeah, I do too.
So there was the click, click, give me New York. And then they added the letters and number, like the call mm-hmm. numbers, mm-hmm. right? That you had to give the operator. But whenever they added numbers in, how did you input that? And was it just like with the letter system above the numbers? And is that how then that transitioned to just numbers? Because they were like, why don't we just use fucking
numbers
if people are using the letters
that
at the
might
top?
Be
do you think when they started, they thought, we'll probably never need more than like 4,000. we're good.
Who's going to be able to afford a phone, really? Like.
Just kings and queens.
Yeah, the Rockefellers and the Hearsts.
But all that to say, this joke doesn't work unless you have these call letters before your number. Right. Because she tries to give a fake number to the cop for the sorority house that begins with fellatio.
Mm-hmm. And again, to Jessica's point, in the middle of an emergency of trying to locate their friend.
Well, she's a bad girl.
Yeah.
Right.
She likes to do
Barb's
pranks.
Like, listen, I'm still going to get my lols.
She does bits.
Is it defeating the purpose of her even going there, though, if she's giving him a fake phone number?
I think she actually allowed more deaths to happen, including her own.
You know, now that I'm thinking about all this, she was the killer. She was one of them.
Quite
she could have been.
This was all perpetrated by about 8 killers, is what I'm saying.
What if every slasher movie was just 10 people?
What if every slasher movie was the 2019 Black Christmas?
It was like a whole cult of
yeah.
dudes.
Yeah, it's a cult of dudes.
I forgot most of what happened in that movie, but it had social commentary.
Yeah, plenty of social commentary. Mm-hmm. But one of my complaints about that movie is I only watched the first 50 minutes of it. No one will ever make the phone call. They say things like, I got a DM.
Yeah.
You know, part of what was good in the movie is the atmosphere created by these creepy phone calls.
Which
and instead, someone just saying, ooh, I got a DM that says I'm going to kill you, bitch.
Which I was, talking to some other friends about this, too. But, like, the phone calls are pretty affecting in there. Like, for it being a trope that I've seen played out mm-hmm. several times in movies, like, it was kind of surprising how actually disturbing
they are truly disturbing. And what at the time, if you had not seen horror movies that we have, what the fuck would you be
if
thinking?
You didn't already know? The callers come from inside the house.
Yeah.
But I think it's a lot due to the actor, whoever it was that played Billy on the line, being fucking bonkers and creepy. Yeah.
Josh is going to do some research on that,
I think,
and I'm going to move us
Bob
ahead.
Clark did.
Bob Clark himself?
There's three people credited.
Mm. Oh, so, yeah.
One is Bob Clark, but Nick Mancuso seems to be
the three-person
the main
theory.
One.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. So.
Yeah, move us ahead.
All right, so... we didn't talk about this, but this is also, this all happens, by the way, all these events happen on the same day. We start out the day
Christmas?
before But the next day...
Where does Christmas figure into this?
I don't know.
By the way, it's Christmas time.
It's Christmas time. Yeah.
There's a wreath.
The lights are everywhere. That's a big part of the movie.
That's so
drunk
cozy.
Santa, Blake.
I love old... What I loved... One of the things I loved about this movie were the old things that you never see on Christmas decorations anymore, like the tinsel stars with the little lights. Do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Or
oh,
like,
yes.
A star made of
or
tinsel.
Or like the Christmas tree that has
those
actual...
Those things burn down...
Like, it has like the actual silver, like tinsel things that people would hang on the branches of the tree. Yeah. So the tree is just dripping with like, and not only does it have garland and lights and ornaments, but it has these like
right.
silver tinsel that is just hanging from the tree, just like dripping off of it. And I love it. It's so pretty.
Something I like about old Christmas scenes is the Santa Clauses always look like complete shit. It's always
true.
Like just some guy, you see his normal hair like under the hat, and he's got this beard that hangs like too low.
It was not an industry then right, like right. it is now to be a lookalike yeah. of Santa Claus.
And now it's like people that, yeah, it's like legitimately like you've got to be a large man with a natural white beard.
They spend the whole summer putting on weight, growing that beard.
Yeah.
So the same day, Jess goes to meet Peter, and that's her boyfriend. He's a piano player. He has a big...
Pianist, I'm sorry.
He has a big...
worst joke I ever made.
Yeah.
Big childish. Event coming up that night, I guess. It would be his concert,
his recital.
And she dares to drop on him that she's pregnant. And
bad timing.
She's going to have a fucking abortion. And that's all there is
she
to it.
She should have just not told him, right?
And... He
honestly, if I had known he would have reacted that way, there's no way in fucking hell I would have told him.
Yeah,
I would have just
not.
Had the abortion.
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Yeah. Instead, yeah. later on, he meets her back at the house.
He is
and is
weirdly obsessed about the abortion.
The movie wants us to understand that he is unhinged, possibly scary.
Well, she says
I got that
later,
when he destroyed the piano.
Yeah.
Later on the phone, she says... To the cop, he's an artist. He's sensitive.
he's like, kill the baby. That's a weird way to put it. Not these days. But apparently in those days, it wasn't as commonplace. But he is really mad about that. He calls it killing a baby. And he goes off.
And at one point, I don't want to get too far ahead, but even when she's like, she breaks up with him at some point, and I think literally his line is something like, okay, but what about the baby? He's all of a sudden like doesn't even care about the relationship. It's like, you will have that baby.
He also says, if you try to have an abortion, you will be sorry at the end of the
fight. Oh,
yeah,
that's true. Like
scenes.
Later on
and
at their
like,
fight
oh,
scene.
Well,
yeah.
I guess he's the killer then.
Yeah, it does really set him up for it.
And destroying a grand piano once again.
Yeah. So Jess finds out that no one can find their sorority sister, Claire. And she goes to tell Claire's boyfriend. His name is Chris. He's hunky. He's the hunk
of the hunky
film.
Hockey player.
Mm-hmm. And he goes back to the police station with Jess, and he's like, what the hell? Why is no one taking this seriously? My girlfriend's disappeared. And there's also another plot of a young lady who disappears because they have a search party that night for this 13-year-old girl who has disappeared. And I was asking Blake, like, is this just supposed to be a side plot to distract us from what's going on? Or are we supposed to think that the killer also lured this young girl away from home and killed her? Are we supposed to believe that they're related? Or are they just trying to trick us?
I was confused about that as well. I assume they were related. And what, now that we're talking about it, I think probably happened is Billy killed the 13-year-old and then went to the house.
Later to hide?
On. Like, he was, well, not necessarily
he's been
to
there
hide.
For a while. Yeah.
Not necessarily to hide, but that's where like he was probably coming from. Was
we never see him leave the attic though? Like, as far as we know, he doesn't leave the attic. Yeah.
We so see him leave the attic and move through the house through his perspective.
Well, I mean, he doesn't leave the house. I should say it's weird to think that he just went to the park, killed a girl, and then went right back to the attic.
I guess so.
I guess,
yeah,
but it depends.
He does
on
start
its
outside of the house, though. He does. Okay. He is climbing up the side of the house. So.
Yeah, because he finds the lattice and climbs up it to get into the attic.
I guess the attic just seemed really lived in, and it was like, oh, he's kind of set up camp here for a long while.
Yeah.
He came with the house kind of thing.
And it's certainly not the first time they've heard from him either on the call. They seem to be
right
aware that they're getting calls or they know about it.
So I can't remember if this is before the search party is formed for the little girl and for Claire, who is missing. But there's a dinner scene. Barb is drunk Do you remember the scene I'm talking about?
And Margot Kidder playing drunk is just Oscar-worthy. I mean, she plays it so realistically, like a Looney Tune.
We got
basically.
A mank on our hands. A
real mank.
And really, like, abrasive and confrontational, too. Like,
just like, it's like she maybe hasn't been drunk, but is basing it off what she saw in cartoons. Like, yeah. Really slurry. Bubbles coming out of your head.
I was getting ready to say, are you going to add the bubbles in post?
Yeah,
or?
And hiccuping constantly. Yeah, yeah.
Where's my barrel that just has X's on the side of it?
Yeah. And she is drunk and everyone's having a dinner, but for some reason, I think she's laying on the couch. Is she reading a Playboy? I can't remember.
She's looking at a centerfold of some sort. Because okay. She's bad.
Isn't she doing something to... She's drawing or something on it?
Yeah,
I feel like she's doing something.
She's drawing a mustache on the centerfold.
Yeah. She's subversive. Yeah.
But she decides to tell a story. Is it about a type of turtle?
Oh.
Who can fuck
dumb.
For 3 days
yeah.
nonstop? Mm-hmm.
This was
I think it was obviously just to offend the father mm-hmm. of Claire, who is at the table.
Who is like a very stuffy
yes.
She's like,
man.
There is a certain species of turtle. I'm like, just say what the species is. Just like name it.
She can't remember.
Well,
she's drunk.
I don't know. Listen, in her defense, if I was trying to tell you guys about a turtle right now, I would probably not know the specific. I would probably say the same thing.
Like, but she just wants to be.
I heard about a species of turtle that.
True. She wants to be lewd in front of the old dude.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And talk about this turtle who fucks, and she likes to go to the zoo and watch animals fuck or something like that.
She did say she went to see it. Yeah.
Or she saw, but she ended up watching.
And she's
zebras.
Upset because she's lucky if she can get 3 minutes.
Exact. Good. That was a good one.
It's a good dig. It's a good joke.
I will say, I'll just put this out there. I'm going to regret this, but have you guys ever seen turtles fucking?
I have.
Can I just say...
Oh, God. Yeah, like IRL?
I have not seen a lot. Yeah.
Not in my real life,
I've seen
but
them
like
at our local
videos.
Zoo. I've
oh.
seen them.
Oh.
You know, and I've seen, you know, just in various clips throughout my life, you see different things where animals are having sex or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, as you do.
I don't know that I've ever seen one that looks like they're having a better time than a turtle. I mean, really? A turtle
are they
really
doing
seems
the...
like... Yeah.
They're
I mean, turtles
just,
are.
They're panting.
Really,
just
yeah.
head up, mouth open, making noises like...
Just back shots.
Just a big old smile.
Probably because they know they got 3 days of it.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
like, hell
shell
yeah.
shots.
Pace yourself, fella.
He's so
pace
tired.
Yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Check in with him on the third day. See yeah. if he's having as much fun.
But that those 3 days probably equate to what, like... 8 thrusts over overall. Let's be real.
Because they're slow.
So.
That's a tortoise.
While everyone is out doing the search party, the house mother has called a taxi, I think, to take her to either to her sister's for Christmas or.
Take her to AA.
A party. I don't fucking know what's going on. She's going somewhere. And she is, once again, thinks she hears this cat and goes exploring up in the attic. Now, I don't know why this woman decides climbing up those. Wooden planks that are nailed into the side of a wall
yeah.
is a good idea for her at her age, but God bless. Maybe she was 30. I don't know.
She's really all about finding this cat. She's pissed at this
yeah.
cat.
She
keeps saying,
up,
look what you made me do, Claude. I think the cat's name was Claude.
Yeah, she yeah. says that several times. Look what you made me do is like her.
She probably also has a bottle of vermouth up there.
Probably. She's probably looking for that. And so she goes up there to find her bottle and also the cat, but she sees... the body of Claire in a rocking chair with the plastic wrapped around her mm-hmm. head and then turns just perfectly towards the killer and he unleashes like some kind of
oh, this
pulley
is a,
hook
yeah. He's
system.
This is a weird death.
He has a contraption
see,
ready to go.
Yeah.
He's basically doing one of the Home Alone like
exactly.
paint buckets
yeah,
coming out.
Yeah, just yeah. right at her and I'm guessing it just the hook just gets her right there.
Yeah, it's a hook through the
pulls
head.
Pulls her up because it's some kind of pulley. It's like
this
a,
is like straight out of Saw shit.
Yeah. Anyway, so... the house mother's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And of course, no one
we're losing
knows
our comic
to
relief.
Look for her because yeah. they think she's gone. Do we actually? No, we don't see.
He only kills people who are on their way out.
Listen,
smart.
Not
way.
A bad plan,
right?
Yeah. Not
right?
A
that's
bad
pretty
plan.
Smart.
No one's
looking
for
look
these
for
people,
them, right?
Dude, this guy's kind of smart. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm looking through to make sure.
I forget who died. Is it Margot Kidder the next kill? It's a little while after that.
It's a little
though.
While. So Margot Kidder is next and Phil. Those are the next two. Are there just four plus the little girl who are killed in the movie? That we never seen.
It's not like modern day slasher body counts. Mm-mm. Also, you know what it's missing from the slasher genre? There's no
nudity. No,
no boobs, no pounding.
Well, we know some people did pound. We know that turtles pound for a really long time.
We get lots of sex talk.
And we know that there was a pounding because someone is pregnant. Yeah. So.
So sexy.
Mm-hmm. So Jess comes back home. Jess and Phil, I guess, after the search, they come back to the sorority house, and it's just the two of them there. Hold on, I'm asking you guys this as an aside. Where did the dad go? Is he still out there searching?
I feel like he does disappear for a while, and then because he's the killer, I feel like he disappears for a while and then comes back later.
He's there at
the
very end.
Yeah.
Well, he's there at the very end, and one of the reasons they all leave the house is because he passes out. And they're like, oh, you've had a long day. Let's get this man to the hospital. And then they leave her all alone. They leave Jess all alone. Anyway, so when they're back at home, and this is after they have reported to the cops, you know, like, hey, we really need to take this seriously about our sister. And also, we've been getting these lewd phone calls. She calls the cops because she gets another phone call and files a report with the police. And then he and the telephone guy show up. Telephone lineman. I don't know what you call them.
Well, his name's Bill.
They show up to tap the phone and it's a whole thing, you know.
Can I say, I don't think they name the killer, but we hear one of the voices
say
Billy.
Over and over again. And, you know, for what it's worth, in the first remake, they stick with that as being the killer's name and identity. So it's, I think, you know, I don't know if any of the original filmmakers had anything to do with the later ones, but at least some of that carried over as
they
far
got
as
way
being,
too into Billy.
They were like, why don't we take these few instances of voice lines on the phone and build an entire fucking half movie about it?
Yeah.
But yeah.
The less we know, the better.
So they give like a full backstory?
Oh, it's absurd how much that time they spend on and it goes where it's like flashbacks back and forth, like between the real time, and it's so much time is spent.
You don't understand. We gotta learn how twisted he is. This guy's a sick fuck. Yeah.
Like, so you're seeing him as a kid, like a abusive parent kind of thing?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
God.
Yeah, pretty much literally.
So Jess is alone in the house, other than I think Phil went to bed because Phil is tired, and Barb, after her drunken outburst, they were like, go to bed, sleep it off, girl.
Oh, yeah.
So she's up a stairs. She's up a stairs. She's she upstairs.
Up a stairs.
She's upstairs sleeping, and Jess is all alone.
Say that Barb's paperweight or whatever little statue she has in her room.
It's like a unicorn with
glass unicorn with a really, really long pointy horn.
Which is, I think, a gift that someone gets in the remake.
Yeah, it comes up in the remake.
It shows in both remakes, but I think it's more just a visual.
Like throwback.
Wink. Yeah, just a visual wink.
The only through line.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm bringing that up for no reason. Continue.
Anyway, so we see the killer creep in. Well, we don't see him, but we see from his perspective, he creeps into her room. And then we cut to Jess, who hears a weird sound coming from upstairs and goes upstairs, and it's Barb having an asthma attack. And she says she had a dream that someone was in her room after she has her inhaler and can talk again. And so Jess soothes her and then goes back downstairs, not thinking, hey, maybe, you know, my friend really actually saw somebody in her room.
Can we not all stick together? Can we not, like, keep... I guess that's
like, why can't everyone be in the
shit?
Same room, right?
Yeah,
that's what you need
to
be. Anyway, so she goes back downstairs and there are these carolers who come. And this is like the longest, it feels like the longest scene because.
This is classic.
So while the carolers are singing beautiful Christmas songs, it cuts to Barb being stabbed to death with her unicorn glass pretty thing that the horn just going into her. It's pretty. Pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
As we're hearing angels we have heard on high or whatever. I don't remember what they're saying.
It's something like that.
Children's voices.
Yeah. And also, Peter comes and they have a big argument. Jess and
Peter came after that. Interesting.
I don't know if it was after that or before. Honestly, I'm a little bit out of order.
That's
here.
Fine. I just watched it.
So much happens in one fucking day. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's
one
all
night.
Squeezed in there.
That's the other reason I thought that Claire's dad was the killer is because he's really, really offended with the promiscuity of the girls. And like, he makes a point of, oh, I didn't pay all this money to have her come.
Well, he goes and he's being shown her room earlier in the day the house mother. And there are, I think there's a poster of like a little old lady who's flipping off.
They have
like,
rude posters.
She's
up
doing
there.
An amazing job of covering that
it
butt.
Up. There's like a picture of like a
the
couple
nude,
that's like a peace sign. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like the new John Lennon, I think.
She's got her
Was hand that not
over
a John
butts.
Lennon Yoko poster?
No. It was just a
generic, just
like
two,
hippie.
They're making a peace,
they're making
sign,
a peace
with their
sign with their
disgusting
bodies,
hippie
see
bodies.
His naked butt, and so she...
it seems anyway. Like a John Lennon Yoko thing.
I only bring that up to
they
say...
have been naked too. Uh-huh.
And... yeah, at least a couple times, and sometimes in photos.
Yeah.
I was only gonna say the only reason I brought that up because I know it was weirdly timed, but is because he seemed like he had motive for you know. Killing
if
all
he
these
is
sorority.
The killer, why did his own daughter go missing first? In your
well,
theory?
There's multiple killers.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
That's cheating stuff.
Yeah. So after Peter leaves, and I think it's after Barb dies, or is it after Phil? She gets another phone call and they try to trace it, and I think it fails in tracing. But the person on the phone is just repeating what he heard Peter and Jess arguing
about the abortion.
He's like word for word. He's just.
I definitely did not pick up on that. In either of my viewings.
You didn't? They talk about it.
The cop later calls her and is like questioning her about some of the things that the person on the phone said.
Yeah, I remember that.
And she's like, yeah, that's a conversation I had with Peter or something.
No.
Oh, wait.
What Peter said earlier was, you're talking about killing our baby as if you're having a wart removed. And then later, Billy on the phone... In the middle of this rambling is
like having a wart removed.
God, I don't think I gave that movie enough credit because that's pretty.
It is good.
That's pretty good.
It's disturbing, and you hear Olivia Hussey go, "Oh my god!" And then after that call is over,
and that's
over,
when the detective is like, "Oh,
lieutenant
note.
Says, I heard you say, oh my god, what did he say?" And she was like, "Oh, nothing. It was just really getting to me." So, she didn't want to admit. What was happening?
That is good.
Yeah,
that's a good bit. But
good bit.
It does kind of take away from the suspension of disbelief a little bit that she didn't start maybe putting things together more at that point.
Right.
Well,
that's
I think
when
she starts suspecting Peter, and I think that's when she and Phil go
that's
around
obvious, yeah.
and they lock all the windows and everything.
And they want the audience to think it's
order.
Right
Peter at that point.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. So how does Phil die? Does anyone remember her death?
Nope.
Phil the girl. Every time I hear Phil, I just think of some bearded dude.
I think of these shoes are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do.
Oh, he thinks of Sesame Street.
Yeah. And I know this. I know the lyrics are boots, but I think she says shoes in the episode.
Got to update it a little bit. Yeah.
What? How does Phil die again?
I'm not sure.
Phyllis?
I can't remember how Phil dies. It is, she goes and I think she finds Barb's body. And so I think he might still be in the room or something and he kills her. I can't quite remember.
It must not have been a memorable death like Unicorn Horn or I would have remembered it.
Yeah. I remember the second time we watched it.
Do you remember?
Yeah, please jump in at any time.
When I was in 10th grade, we had to like define words and one was philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going around, and the kid that got called on said, "It's the study of guys named Phil."
That's good.
And I thought that was the funniest joke I'd ever heard. And so when I hear Phil, I think philosophy.
Was it
the teacher was so mad.
This was 10th grade, you said?
10th
nice,
grade.
Nice,
yeah.
Nice goof.
Yeah.
Then what's a philanderer?
I'm not as crazy as my feet as this guy was. I don't know.
A philanderer is someone who's a fan of Phil's.
Phil Ascio?
Well, we all know.
Anyway, sorry, Adam.
That's a new exchange.
I don't remember what I was talking about.
So after Phil dies, Jess gets another phone call. This time they're able to trace it. And that's when we get the cool, another one of those cool tracing scenes where we're watching the phone line man like walk through all these aisles trying to determine.
He's
looking for like something that's moving. I don't really understand how it works.
I like when he explains it. He's like, it takes a while. We've got a mechanical system. Now it's all just zeros and ones. We don't get to run down any fun hallways anymore.
It's so boring. And he discovers it and relates it back to Officer Nash, which is the one I was fondly calling a himbo earlier. But they have the not smart cop call Jess,
this was the worst.
I loved this. This I loved this me so off. Much.
He fucked it up.
Oh,
so
I loved
bad.
This so much.
He beefed it.
Did he do?
When he was telling her to get out of the house, they said specifically, Nash, just tell her to get out of the house. Just put the phone down and get out
Calm
of the house.
Me.
Do not explain why. Mm-hmm. Do not tell her what's going on. Just tell her to just put the phone down and walk away. And Nash gets on the phone and almost immediately is like, he's like, put the phone down and walk. And she's like, why? What's going on? He's like, just put it down and walk away. Why? What's going on? The killer's in the house.
He's in the house, damn it.
He cracks so fast. It's great.
I mean, I probably would too, honestly. I'd be in panic mode, like, just get the fuck out of
there. Right. If you're like, this person could literally swoop down on her at any point, just get her the fuck out of the house.
She does it. She's like, Barb. Yeah. Bill is screaming up there. Yeah. And I'm just like, get the fuck out. They're dead. Like, there's just no way they're alive. Get out of there.
I feel like if you yelled really, really loud at least one time and didn't get a response, it'd be like, good enough for me. Bye.
They're dead.
Get the fuck out. So she can't get out of the house, right? Because she did something weird to the locks. Like, is she just panicking and can't remember?
Who knows?
So she goes down to the... But there's the whole chasing scene. Isn't he chasing her, but we never see him? We see like an eye of his, like there's a scene where there's a crack in the door and you can see his eye and it's like this green, like it's such a bright, piercing, like green color, but you never see him. And she ends up in the basement because she can't get out of the house.
Right.
And I think he stops chasing her, but then we see Peter coming nonchalantly, just walking.
And at this point, she and the audience are completely...
are kind of convinced it's Peter.
Yeah, are convinced it's Peter.
And he breaks into the little, like, basement window to get in there.
Smashes, breaks and enters.
Yeah.
Because he's concerned.
He's concerned about
it. He's just trying to be a good boyfriend.
Baby.
And gets down in there, and she has a, like, poker from the fireplace that she took with her. And just, I guess, just beats the shit out of him.
Because you don't actually see it.
You don't.
It just, the cops come in later, and he's like laying dead in her lap, which is
great. Yeah.
She treats him like he treated that poor piano, basically.
I mean, what?
Flogs him.
Goes around, comes around.
So now that we've come around to this, here's my question that I was going to go back to. Is Peter involved in any killings? Is he completely innocent?
Just that piano.
I mean, other than the killing of an unborn baby that he helped to create.
No, that's what Olivia has. She's the murderer.
Well, now he's dead, so he can't stop it. So that's on him, too.
I mean, I have I don't have an honest-to-God theory that would work as to why. But
no.
For some reason, I think I was just in a really weird headspace when I watched it the first time, and I was convinced there were... And maybe it was because of the audio clips or the phone calls, but I was like, there are definitely two killers. And that's how all of this works.
Because no one human can make the noises.
Those sounds.
That were being
those sounds
on the phone.
Are. Yeah.
But then, if I tried to rationalize that, it would not make sense for Peter and Billy to be in on it together,
right?
Unless there was additional backstory that we don't have a part of, but which is kind of the remake.
Well, as
but,
we all know, cops like easy explanations. They're like, "Well, he's the killer." instead of taking Jess, Olivia Hussey, to the hospital, they just take her back up to her bedroom
and
tuck her in.
Instead of clearing the house and roping the entire thing off and doing a thorough investigation, they tuck her into bed and they leave.
They tuck her into bed.
Kiss on the forehead.
Claire's dad passes out and they're like, "Oh, we better get this guy to the hospital." And they load him up and everyone leaves except for an officer who is... outside on the front porch.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. There's no one in the room with her. No one has done a thorough inspection of the home.
Ever, at
any point.
Definitely
not that attic.
And I believe she's drugged up, by the way. So they've drugged her up. She, as the movie is ending, we see a shot of the outside of the house with the cop outside. And it's zooming away. And I believe we hear like him giggling or something and the phone ringing, which they established that he only calls after he's killed someone. So it's possible that he killed our final girl.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Well, that would make a case for the girl in the park then if he called them after killing her.
Ah, that would. Because if he called them. Yeah, but they talked like he had called before.
Yeah.
But of course, they're also a sorority house. And I feel like
this guy could have been murdering people for decades and nobody seems to really be that good at catching him. So.
And it's not that he's good at
evading.
Yeah, right, like, right, exactly.
They should have made a sequel right away that's like a Halloween 2 style. She wakes up, Jess wakes up, still kind of drugged.
And it being just like, picks right up from picks, there.
Yeah. Exactly. He's still in the attic. Mm-hmm. She's all alone. And she's just like, why the fuck did they leave me? What's going on?
Just completely out of it. Yeah. I'm trying to think if there are, I think what really makes this movie for me are some of the funnier, like Barb, her character, getting mm-hmm. that kid drunk. I really like those little, I like getting kids drunk. I don't know what to tell you.
Was the kid really drunk?
She's just is it a beer that she's giving him some drinks of, or is it?
Man, it looked like a hard drink because it's like in a short glass.
It's like moonshine or something.
Yeah. Well, then I'd say that kid probably did get pretty schnockered, as she said.
I mean, it wouldn't have taken much, I don't think.
Yeah.
All the little bad things she does, I think she overplays it, but sure.
I like that. I like the house mother.
I like the house mother.
And her hidden bottles of mm-hmm. alcohol.
My favorite
throughout.
Character, the house.
There was one part I remember thinking where the police are there, and I think they're looking in Claire's room. And again, at this point, I did not realize that because I thought Claire's room was somewhere where Claire was. Mm-hmm. But it was also after the house mother disappeared, and the cops asking, did she ever do any drugs or alcohol? And they were like, no, she would never touch any of that stuff. And at the time, I was thinking they were talking about the house mother. And I thought that was the funniest gag in the whole movie. I was like, that would be so funny if they pitched it as though, like, none of these girls had any clue this house mother drank at all. And meanwhile, she just like, constantly
house mother
throwing
just in her little pillbox hat, just tossing back the cooking sherry. Yeah.
When did they stop having house mothers, or do they still?
Well, in the 2006 remake they had, and it was played by Andrea Martin.
Okay.
I believe they still do, right?
RAs. Well, RAs are endorsed.
I feel like there's probably some sort of oversight, but it's a lot more loose than someone just living on site. Yeah.
Sometimes they just let a house bunny live there.
Sure. I feel like if you had house mothers and house fathers, there would be at least a little bit fewer hazing deaths going on. You know what I mean?
Would there, though?
Probably less wild ragers.
In my day, we weren't such pussies.
Yeah, exactly.
They probably just have some young person who's like their house rep or something who has to report to, because it's all like, you know, connected to other houses and other campuses. So there's got to be
they're
something.
All franchised now. There's no small,
I don't know,
local sororities anymore.
I was only in like an academic fraternity, and that was just for like 1 year because
I wasn't in shit.
Rushing a fraternity is a pain in the ass, and I was like, this is not worth it.
Do you guys remember, for all the jokes about how problematic Revenge of the Nerds is, do you remember this other less talked about problematic thing, which is that the nerd fraternity was a black fraternity? Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah,
vaguely,
yeah, yeah.
Vaguely,
they had
yeah.
to go.
Yeah, they were like trying to find a way, like get mm-hmm. into a certain chapter or something like that. And it's like a historically like black
fraternity
which...
Yeah.
That's
the part that's not offensive?
No. I mean,
the racial joke?
I mean,
he's like, listen, we always talk about the Darth Vader
scene.
No,
I'm saying that people find the
race.
People find the in the I don't want to say the word.
Stuff.
Yeah, the sex stuff really mm-hmm. problematic,
I know.
No one talks about the other stuff that should be problematic.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I haven't seen that in so long.
Why don't we watch it tonight? It'll
all right. Next episode. We're just movies now.
Revenge of the Nerds.
How many are there four?
At least four.
Let's do them all.
One's like quite a bit later, I feel like. Like there were three.
There were more like direct-to-video ones later.
Bring that back.
I've only seen one and two.
I think I've only seen one.
Mm. And two is Nerds in Paradise,
it's
right?
It's a classic.
I haven't seen that one.
I think just one, yeah.
I mean, that's when the nerds go to paradise.
And that's when Ox joins the nerds, right? Ox the big jock, doesn't mm-hmm. he join the nerds?
How could he possibly be a nerd?
I don't know. Anyway.
He hates them.
Nerds. Sorry. That was my
That was him.
I do want to watch that now for
I feel
real.
Like that even he's got like he's wearing mm-hmm. glasses and a bow tie and like combed over hair at one point.
Man, we forget though that John Goodman was in that movie.
Coach. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Black Christmas though.
Yeah, Black Christmas.
Black Christmas. So are there any little scenes that you guys liked a lot? Like any weird background stuff going on?
I thought of one we didn't talk about.
Okay.
In one of the police station scenes, one of the cops is bringing in some hayseed who has shot a cop in the ass with buckshot.
Buckshot, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, couldn't be today, I guess.
He was giving that cop what he had coming to him.
He's like, he was on my property.
Yeah. He wasn't apologizing for it.
Now he would just pull out his AR-15 and annihilate that cop.
Well, yeah.
Or the cop
would, yeah.
even if he was white, I don't think he'd have a head after doing that.
Not at all.
But yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, that was a good
shot him in the butt.
Oh, this is also Canada. So
they don't have real guns.
I mean, I think it's supposed to be set in America, but it was filmed in Canada, right? I don't know.
Maybe that sounds right.
It was definitely filmed in Toronto, though. I looked that up.
Well, there you go, gang. We can shoot Canadian cops in the ass, and they won't do a thing.
They're called Mounties, though. No. Are all cops called Mounties?
No.
I was about to say, aren't there like specific cops?
That's like their special forces or something. Yeah. I don't know.
ACAM.
They have horses. Remember when I did song parodies? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm going to do one. Oh. But if I did
I love
one.
It. Uh-huh. What are you cooking
last
up?
Christmas, but it's Black Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I gave Christmas. You my, I don't know.
I gave you my baby on the very last day.
You killed it away.
So this would be from Peter's perspective?
Yeah.
This year,
this is a horrible song. Don't listen to...
And it needs to end with you smashing your keyboard.
Yeah.
I was going to really try and work piano recital into it, but I just couldn't.
Do
it to the tune of him playing the piano.
Another thing I loved was Peter's speech about what they're going to do in the future, right? This is when they have their big fight. And Peter's like, I have been at the conservatory for 8 years.
Yeah.
That is eight years of having to stand in line for a bath. And I'm like, what is this guy's role again? Is he a student or what's his job?
At this conservatory, do you have to live on campus?
Yeah, in the dorm? And you're 45.
Yeah, like how old are you?
And piano for 8 years. Yeah.
That's just...
You took piano lessons for 8 years in college.
They call that Berklee College of Music now.
Yeah, what the hell is happening?
And stayed up for 3 nights practicing, only to be boom, boom, boom. Bad.
Although imagine being 45 and... waiting in line. And
that's why he's been there for 8 years.
But
he
also imagine
graduate.
Being 45 and getting Jess, you know
Olivia
what I mean?
Hussey stuff?
Little cutie.
Mm-hmm. How old is she in that?
I don't know.
That's a weird question. Sorry.
I have no idea. I just know that she was underage in Romeo and Juliet and you guys should not have been watching that movie.
They literally showed it in school.
You know, they showed it in my school too, but they also paused it and
they paused it.
They stopped it and fast forwarded because the teacher wrote down the times.
I don't think they.
So she would know exactly.
They didn't in my school. In my school, we did before they started it. They were just like, everyone, be cool.
That's good. That's a good pep talk.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about my science teacher in 10th grade, maybe 11th grade, who was diagnosed with cancer and he just kind of quit giving a shit about his lesson plans and sometimes wouldn't even show up to class. And so we would just sit there and watch MTV on our TV. Anyway, at one point, he started showing up again because I think he got in trouble from the administration. And for our final, well, like the last week of school or whatever, he was like, okay, we're going to watch a movie and your final will be about the movie. The movie?
Rudy.
Starship Troopers.
Oh, wow.
Good. I could write a thesis.
Isaac got mad because today they weren't doing shit at school. Isaac is my oldest son. He's 16 years old.
I'll bleep the name.
And he texted me and said, Dad, they are showing the worst movie I've ever seen
Starship
in my
Troopers?
Life right now. No.
Men in Black 2.
Showgirls.
No. Nope. Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh. Whoa, that seems... was that PG? PG-13.
I was actually surprised.
That's weird to watch in school because it sucks.
Yeah. I know. It was a weird choice.
Is it a Christmassy one? It's not Christmassy at all. There's no Christmassy.
It feels like a thing where...
Did someone go into their car
just...
and they're like, I got Mr. and Mrs. Smith in here, and I've got Secret Window.
I was going to say they just swung by Walmart on the way, but Walmart wouldn't even have that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even have that
They
right
swung
now.
By the DAV, because they definitely have it at all times.
Yeah. And then he said, it's worse than Evil Bong, which I argued with him about, and I said, that cannot be possible.
What's Evil Bong?
I'm going to say that's worse than
it's a full moon. It's a full moon.
I have been trying to get Blake to watch Evil Bong for a while.
There's never been a bad full moon production.
No, the modern ones are.
I'm kidding.
Bad. They're like, the whole movie is like filmed in this room. It's like, it's bad. They're like literally no budget films. But which is disappointing from the makers of Puppet Master and Demonic Toys. But anyway, I tried watching one. I took a gummy one time and was like, Isaac, because Isaac with his friends watched Evil Bong and he thought it was hilarious. And so I was like, I'm going to take a gummy and I'm going to love this. And I was like, this is garbage. Like, there's not a single thing redeemable about it. So that's why I was like,
damn.
When he was like, Mr. and Ms. Smith is worse than Evil Bong, I said, I'm not buying it.
Son, are you high? Yeah. Try it again.
Yeah.
I try to think of bad movies my friends and I thought were great that my mom was just like, but I can't think any because I had great taste. I loved The Crow. I loved Trainspotting.
It's probably like Wayne's World's what you think.
I loved Wayne's World. I had great taste.
We've probably talked about this, but I had toys taped off HBO on VHS that I watched ad nauseum as a kid, and I thought it was the greatest movie of all time. And it still is, so holds up.
I remember by the time I started at Campbell 16 when I was 16 years old, my two favorite movies. I was going to claim that I also had good taste growing up, but I'm about to prove that incorrect. My two favorite movies when I started at
Campbell 16. Can we try to 16, guess?
You won't guess them. Josh might be able to guess one.
Deep Impact and Princess Bride.
No, no. Damn.
Okay, hold on. Okay, what year was it? One of them was actually still in the theater at the time. What year was this, though?
Double Take?
And one of them probably hadn't been out of the theater very long, either.
What year was it when you were 16?
2000.
2000.
Yeah. Big Mama's Beauty. House. Is one Big Mama's House?
No.
That
American
really felt
Beauty.
Right.
Yeah, close, though. Not close. I don't know why I said close.
Was I working at the theater?
Maybe. Not when this movie was
out. Not yet.
This one was like, they had the half title art in the...
Oh, yes. Me, Myself, and Irene.
No, they're both dramas. Excellent. I'll tell you that.
I already said, okay, American Beauty's not right.
October Sky.
No.
Although
I loved October Sky.
I know you did.
Magnolia?
Oh, Frequency.
Frequency was one.
Yes, I remember this because I hated Frequency. And I would yell, Little Chief.
Yeah.
And Adam didn't care for it.
I legit was like, this movie is fucking great.
I saw it once. So.
This movie is doing things that no movie has ever done before.
I have not
was
seen
the
it.
Other one the Jodie Foster alien movie?
No.
That movie slaps Contact?
Yeah. That's one of your
still
favorites.
Great.
Yeah.
It was a submarine drama called
U571.
The Matthew McConaughey.
Those are both from that year.
Yeah, I know.
That's crazy.
But I think
Evolution number 3.
Yeah. But I also think that was when I really started paying attention to movies a lot more and was like, I like movies now, and then they just happen to be kind of good movie.
Yeah.
If you had asked me my favorite movies, they would all been things from the year before. Right. In 1999 when I was watching
Fight Club. Yeah. Fight Club.
Literally, I think my favorite movies probably in 1999 or 2000 were things like Fight Club, American Beauty,
The
Matrix.
I thought American Beauty was extremely good.
I thought it was the best thing I'd ever seen.
Wes Bentley, the hottest thing I'd ever seen in my life.
I thought women in that who shouldn't have been doing the things that they were doing.
Yeah.
But I was a boy. What did I know?
Yeah. You knew boobs.
that's what that movie gave me. And I was Oscar, give it all the Oscars.
I even saw that with my friend Jason. And he's like, ooh, boobies. Like, that was a nice little surprise for him because he thought it would just be some girly drama. Exactly. You know, that's how he didn't know
he
what
to
expect.
He just saw roses on the
road. It's a movie for everyone.
Thora Birch
He's like,
tits.
Hell yeah, boobs.
Yeah.
Boobs and Nazi plates. What else could you want out of a movie?
Forgot about that part.
Yeah, it's great.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, you also get Kevin Spacey. Yeah, that's the other thing you could want out of a movie.
And
that
Binning singing Fuck Me, Your Majesty, because she's boning the real estate
Is Matthew Broderick that the real estate?
Peter Gallagher.
It's Peter Gallagher.
What is Matthew
He's
Broderick
definitely
in?
Something like
is,
that, though.
Is it the Mark Ruffalo, Laura Linney movie? Is he in that one?
You Can Count on Me. Yeah.
You Can Count on Okay. I just remember there's some sex scene with him. Anyway.
I remember my favorite Matthew McConaughey sex-related scene is in Election when he's prepping the hotel room for his affair, and he goes into the bathroom and you can see him washing his, well, you don't see his balls, but you know he's washing,
we know he's washing his balls,
his boy parts, and I'm like.
Mm-hmm. That's not, the best sex scene is Fill Me Up, that one.
God.
You know what I'm
talking I know what you're talking
Thanks
about.
Thanks for.
Did we do an episode on Election?
We did do it. We did, and we had special guests.
Go back and
listen to Election.
Yeah, good one. Great
so,
movie.
Do you guys want to talk about the remakes or have we?
Oh, yeah. So
I don't remember.
I vaguely remember.
Almost anything.
I remember more
I said
about
all
the...
I had to say about the first remake.
So
I remember more about the 2006 one because,
Mary
number
Elizabeth
one, it just started playing automatically after I finished rewatching Black Christmas.
Yeah.
And I remember it starts in a... Well, I think it starts at the house, but it switch to a psych ward?
Mm-hmm.
Like a heavy
I think
security.
It might actually start... Does it? I can't remember, but that's like very, very early on.
Yeah, and that's when we learn that Billy is still alive.
Who plays Jess in that one?
I can't remember, but I know Mary Elizabeth Winstead
is
in it.
And Michelle Trachtenberg's in it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Lacey... the one for...
Oh, yeah, Chabert, or whatever.
Everyone has hot shit at the time.
She's in it. Yeah, it was like a bunch of... Yeah, like young... actresses that a bunch of people like.
Right.
So, and yeah, I think it largely tries to follow Well, until the reveal of the killers. But there are explicitly two killers in that movie that are related, which you find out through the progression of the backstory, which is, easily half the movie, if not more. It is so much time is spent on those backstories.
So instead of having like fun scenes of the sorority girls getting young children drunk or talking about their abortions.
And it all takes place in the house. Like they're not like out doing things on campus. You know, it's like all taking place in the house. And it's like, it's got this almost like weird, like mystery sort of vibe to like where they're all like a clue or something where they're all in the house drinking and, you know, people are dying or whatever.
And not one piano is smashed.
I don't think so. Sucks. Maybe.
Is there a Peter equivalent in that?
There are. I think the characters are pretty much across the board, like same names and everything. Like there's a Claire, there's a Jess, you know, like I think they tried to keep it. Like I would consider it an actual remake of the original. The second one, I would not consider that. But
yeah.
Anyway, but it's so stupid. It's incredibly gory.
It's very gory. I remember that.
But in such a like silly, cartoony way that it's like not. It almost isn't like horror. You know what I mean? It's not like scary, gory.
It was of that time, I guess they were doing.
Yeah,
that.
It's just so silly and like cartoony.
For example, the colors are really weird in that movie. Like the way it's filmed,
they were color timing things really weird at that time.
And a lot of the shots were kind of odd and everything. But like, for example, on the gore, there's a part where a killer stabs somebody through the eye with a knife and it comes out the other side of their head. And the eyeball is facing outward, like through the night. You know what I mean? It's like, it's an interesting shot, I suppose, but it's not, you know,
they had to have the eye looking at us.
right, exactly. That was that a 3D movie, do you think?
Oh, maybe. There was that 3D craze.
2006 seems early for that.
Yeah,
though, right.
There was some bad.
Because it would have been following Avatar, which would have been.
Avatar was like 2010.
You're right. Yeah.
Was it that late?
Yeah.
But I think there might have been like some like Spy Kids 3D, some low budget ones before you got the good ones with still the cheap glasses.
Yeah.
So maybe it.
Okay.
It could have been.
But anyway, it's a very, very stupid movie, which I thought this is going to be the worst of the worst until I watched the other remake.
So the 2019 one, you're going to have to refresh me on, but I do remember it has a Me Too type bent on it. It's like a feminist kind of
The way I describe this to somebody else is it's so aggressively trying to be a feminist anthem that it almost comes across as like a caricature of feminism because it is so over the top and so ridiculous.
And this one stars Imogen Poots,
Imogen Poots.
Everyone's favorite, Mrs. Poots.
And Carrie Elwes is in it.
That's the professor. He's the big baddie, right? In the movie?
Kind
of. There's a lot of baddies.
He plays the patriarchy.
He's
that's
a shitty
character.
Professor, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's a completely different plot, completely different characters and everything. But there are some visual cues. There's a cat. Someone follows a cat meowing.
No text messages, right?
Yeah.
Different forms.
These kids don't call on the phone these days.
But there is a cat that someone follows around, like is making a noise that someone kind of follows around. There's the unicorn. You just see it in one of the shots. There was something else. So there's some like homages, some like references.
House Mother in 2019?
There's no house mother. Okay. No house mother. But So anyway, but it takes itself very seriously and it really thinks it's like leaving its mark on
it really
the social
thinks
commentary.
It's an It Follows type of a horror film, right?
I think it was the filmmaker's first attempt. I can't remember.
Yeah, I looked at her filmography and then she had directed something before but nothing I'd heard of and then since then it's just on TV.
Yeah. And there's a supernatural element to it which at first I was excited about. I was like, oh, okay, now this will be doing something interesting. And then that turns out to be just really fucking stupid too.
I can't even remember what the supernatural element is. Yeah, it's just like it's a secret evil
men can fly.
Yeah, one of the fraternities called, spoiler alerts for 2019. One of the fraternities called the Founders is, I guess, founded by a founder. And they have some sort of ritual where there's like black pouring out of this bust of the founder. And they like rub it on each other's heads and then that brings out, they literally say it brings out their true alpha or something like that. That's literally a line in this movie. but So they all are like given kind of these supernatural abilities. But then even if you are a man that's just in that proximity, then you will start to get migraines and then your alpha starts to come out as well. So,
oh no, my alpha.
There's like one character that's like this kind of really nice ally boyfriend in the beginning, and he just progressively gets more toxic. And he's like, it doesn't, you don't know why until later. He's like, I'm just getting these bad migraines. And then all of a sudden he becomes like,
it almost sounds like something that could be good, but it,
right,
doesn't it, land.
It's because the way it's written, some of the lines are so just on the nose that it's like,
yeah.
Who wrote it? That's the question.
That's a good question.
I think it's someone who has a podcast and it's like their first time writing a movie. Can you look it up?
Yeah.
I think it's someone who does a podcast about
John
slashers.
Hodgman.
But yeah, there's lots of lines like, bring out the alpha in you, or like Josh pointed out, there's one like not someone screams not all men, like one of the boyfriends screams.
I do
not
remember
all men.
There is a like in me throwback to Mean Girls, they're performing.
Yeah.
Several of the girls are performing in sexy Santa costumes, but they go into a thing about how one of the dudes assaulted her.
Right.
Yeah. So this is the screenplay's by Sophia Takal, who directed it, and April Wolf. So there were two.
I think April Wolf might be the podcaster.
She doesn't have anything on Wikipedia. Like her name is not linked to anything else.
Search April Wolf podcast.
I am.
I'm telling you how to Google.
Thank you.
Because I'm an alpha.
She has a Substack.
I'll say she does.
You don't follow her on Twitter.
I don't have my phone, which is weird for me.
The other three of us are on our phones.
She's appeared on Snap Judgment multiple times.
What's that?
She hosts and co-hosts a film podcast, Switchblade Sisters,
that's
and
it.
Who Shot Ya?
That's it. I hear commercials for those two all the time.
I think I've listened to Switchblade Sisters a couple of times.
It's like women talking about slashers or something?
Well,
or
it's
just movies?
It's like cult and horror yeah.
So it's like I podcast about movies. I can probably write one, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah, they should let us remake
this again. Why not?
Yeah.
I'm going to
Time for Black Christmas
DM
2024.
Flick Chick and see if she wants to collab on a movie.
They should let us remake Slaughterhouse.
Already?
What?
Yeah.
Do the sequel. We'll do the sequel for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Is
the
every
sequel for what?
Slaughterhouse.
What's that?
That's the one I told you about that he watched. I haven't seen it, but it's about
a sloth?
Yeah, a sorority that takes in a stray sloth, and the sloth starts murdering everyone.
A sloth.
Yeah. It's one of those really awful horror movies that's like purposefully tongue-in-cheek. Mm-hmm. And just
the sloth
like
posts on Instagram.
No, they start with a dump. They start with a pun title, and they work backwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that every fucking
but
Slaughterhouse movie
is
like
even
that
not that good.
It's not
no,
good.
It's yeah, not.
It's yeah, not a good pun.
Yeah. I can't think of a better sloth pun right now, but no.
Black Slothness would be better.
No.
I don't know.
All right. So
Do it.
Let's hear it.
Slothstro. It's sloth maestro.
Okay. You're really on a maestro kick right now. How was that? Was it a good movie?
I didn't really like it that much.
Maybe you're just not a fan of
Acting? Of people acting?
That's real acting.
Him and Carrie Mulligan in a room acting at each other.
Yikes. Carrie Mulligan.
I enjoy Carrie Mulligan's acting in Saltburn, where she's acting, but I enjoyed that acting.
Yeah.
I enjoyed her work in Never Let Me Go. Yeah, why is that the first movie I thought of when I thought
she
of
was
her
just acting in that? Mm.
I'm in the small group of people that liked Promising Young Woman, so
it was
whatever.
Okay.
I remember liking it. Was she in Drive?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Love that movie, so.
And
you know what I've learned is a lot of Zoomers don't like Drive, think it's dumb.
Well, they don't understand it.
They didn't know what it was like to be a man in 2011.
Let me tell you something. That movie was a thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's still good.
And it's still very cool.
I've only
cool
seen it mm-hmm one time.
They don't get synthwave music.
Adam never watched it again.
Okay,
just keep that yeah, that one
just
time.
Just remember it yeah well.
I've watched it maybe yeah twice, and I'm like, both times are great.
I always that's
good
one thing you
the
always
theater
have to. Anytime you're like recommending a movie that you like really liked but haven't seen a ton and haven't seen in a long time, and you're like, oh, this movie was great, and then you have to think about it. Like,
yeah, does a lady fuck a car
does
in the movie?
I need
to think
about
that.
Does it still hold up? Let me see. Yeah.
Did you watch Crash? I can't remember.
Shit, no. And I was going to bring it. I put it by the bags.
You didn't watch it and you were going to return
it? It's because my DVD player won't play it.
Oh.
Oh, fuck.
Well, do you want to have a Crash party here sometime?
Sure, if I can ever.
It's because of the region, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Are you putting it in the PS5, but it won't work?
I think it's actually because of the UHD, the 4K UHD.
He's got a parental control on his thing and won't play anything that's rated.
It won't play any Cronenbergs.
The PS5 will play some region stuff, but not others. It's really
also it does a thing where it's like you only have 4 times or 5 times that you can play this.
You can switch regions.
Yeah, after that you can't switch anymore.
No, I actually have a region-free Blu-ray player, but I think it's the 4K UHD that's
okay
throwing it because it's kind of older. But anyway,
so that was Black Christmas.
This was really unorganized, and I'm sorry for
we have to push something out before Christmas, like we do every year. With this podcast.
Well, we didn't last
year. And we will do every year from now on.
I still vote we have to do Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Yeah, we should come
something
back.
We did go and watch it.
We
and
did go
say
and watch
we were going
it.
To record it.
We went together.
We all went together and we said we're going to record it. And I think Josh even read the book. And I
reread it.
The book.
I'll rewatch it. I really enjoyed the
movie. I would rewatch it as well.
You should read the books, guys. It's good.
Was the same softy in that movie the one in The Curse?
No.
Different one.
Different softy.
Okay. I like them both.
Mm-hmm.
Got really confused.
As
by
actors.
The
there's oh, Benny yeah.
Softy for a second.
Yeah. Benny Softy is the one on The Curse, right? And Josh Softy is the, one, that was in. Yeah.
He was good.
Who was in Licorice Pizza? It's the one from
Benny.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman's son.
That's
actually,
one
I didn't.
The
who's the other Softy brother?
He's the fourth time.
There's
Josh and Benny.
What is Josh? I feel like I've only ever seen Benny in.
Josh was in Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. He was the dad, right?
No, Benny was the dad.
See, I'm so confused now.
I thought
he was in
Josh.
Good Time. The one who's not on The Curse was in
Wait,
Good Time.
Wait, is Benny really in?
Wait, are they identical twins?
No, but they look
similar.
Because
Benny is the one that's in all these things that you guys are saying.
Really?
Wait. I thought The Curse guy was the same guy as the dad on Are You There?
I thought Benny was Good Time. I thought Benny was Are You There, God? I thought Benny was the cameo in season 2 of Mandalorian.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Sounds right.
These photos look insane. Josh is an
licorice
actor.
Licorice pizza. Benny is the licorice
yeah,
pizza.
Yeah, you're right. They're all him.
Josh, is
they're
it
all Benny? Yeah.
Josh doesn't act at all.
Oppenheimer, Benny.
Oh, shit.
What the fuck?
Oh, I haven't watched Oppenheimer, so I wouldn't have known that.
He was in Daddy Long Legs.
Hold on, I'm looking up Josh Softy.
The only reason I know that is because I've always thought, I have no idea what the other Softy brother looks like because I've only ever seen Benny.
I think they look, anytime I see him looking slightly different.
You're right. Benny is the more handsome one.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
Josh is the hairier one. But I think that Benny, I think I got confused because on The Curse, Benny is hairy.
Yeah. Yes.
And so I
absolutely.
Was like,
I thought this is the other one. This isn't the one from the other stuff. I'm because of man's shade.
I'm confusing my Softy brothers. But for some reason,
do you know
like,
the difference between the Duplass
the
brothers?
I was just about to say that.
What? I also don't think I know
Jay.
I don't think I've seen Jay.
He was
I
on
just
the Mindy
Mark
Project.
Oh, okay, good to know. But see, that's the thing. It's
Jay's
like
the hairier one.
If there's one that's in fewer things and they have smaller parts, I don't know that that's who that is. You know what I mean? But like, I know who Mark Duplass is. I know who Benny Softy is
because
I see them in stuff.
This
all
guy's
the time.
Friends with Ben Shapiro.
So sure. Josh Softy looks kind of like. Shia LaBeouf when Shia LaBeouf loses it and lets his hair grow out.
Lets it all grow out. Yeah.
So.
That tracks.
But yes. I gotta say, I thought Benny was kind of hot as a dad, so get at me, Benny.
Just putting that out there.
Or Josh, whoever you are.
I think he's kind of hot as a kind of scumbaggy producer.
Camera producer? Yeah. Producer? Cameraman producer? Guy.
Yeah.
Love his hair in that.
I need to try that.
Love his TV show.
I thought he was doing a good thing partying with the teens. That's just one man's opinion.
Oh, yeah. Definitely making sure the kids got home okay.
Yeah.
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 Took all their keys.
Oh, you're covering your ears. Sorry.
So but the joke was that
but
I was still
you're covering.
Headphones.
Yeah. I got it.
Okay. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone.
I thought he was going to say Merry fuck.
Yeah. I thought he was.
I don't know
why.
Wait,
do we rate this? Are we going to rate this?
Benny, Josh Safdie, and Mark Duplass.
Oh, I forgot. Do we rate things? I forgot.
We used to.
And horses or something? Hooves.
Hooves.
Okay.
Wait, does this... Go ahead.
I give, you want me to go first? Because I already know.
Okay, yeah, go.
I give Black Christmas, even though it's flawed, four hooves unicorn horn. Well, it has to have the unicorn horn.
Well, that's all I was going to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like a classic movie that I would watch anytime.
Yeah, I would say I'd probably agree with you because, although the first time I watched it, I remember not being very entertained by it, but I don't know why. But I think whenever we watched it,
I was locked on the whole time.
But I think we watched it later on, like during the pandemic when we watched all the holiday themed horror films. I think I liked it much better the second time.
Okay.
Classic. Good movie. Very cozy, very pretty.
Yep.
And you get to hear Olivia Hussey yelling in a phone a lot.
That's my kink.
There you go.
Wait, what did you rate it?
4 stars and a unicorn horn.
Same.
Like you. Yeah.
Boys.
Four and a horn.
Yeah. Great.
Four, you don't have to.
No.
Wow, it's unanimous for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men.
I have a gun to each of their temples. Right.
So.
All right, we'll go celebrate your holidays and shit. Hopefully, I get this out by Christmas Day.
Yay!
Yay!
Happy holidays.
Yay! Don't get killed.
We'll try to get it together for another episode maybe in spring. And I'll take notes and I'll be much more organized.
Do we say something at the end?
Yeah,
I
we do.
Usually say...
Oh, it's the horse girls thing.
Yeah,
oh,
it's like, that's right. Until next time, see you later, horse girls, or something.
I don't know how.
But I think we should incorporate the unicorn from... The unicorn horn. We used to say unicorn girls on bonus episodes.
The unicorn girls were the ones who paid.
Yeah.
You got to pay for that.
Mm-hmm. So I was going to do that, then I was like, I can't because that's premium content.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, say it. Just
say it in Billy's voice. And then...
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
I can't. You say it in Billy's voice.
We'll both say it at the same
call,
time.
Oh, I can't.
Call the listeners.
No.
I cannot imitate that horrible voice.
We're
There's
both
no
going to say it at the same time. You don't have to do, just do any voice you want.
Okay.
Because like Billy would, he would have two voices at once.
Okay.
See you later.
Nope. Until next time.
Oh.
Until next time.
See you later, horse girls.
You guys sounded just great. Like it.
That sounded horrible.
No notes to myself.